You're tuned to Booked every Thursday at 4 on KDNK Community Access Radio. My next guest is Sopra Sun editor Will Grambois, who moonlights at the Crystal Theater once a week. Thanks for stopping by the studio, Will.
It's always a pleasure.
The Academy Awards will be watched by tens of millions of Americans this Sunday, and we have about 15 minutes left in the show to get listeners caught up on which nominees we recommend. Plus, we'll go beyond the Oscars and share a few underrated picks. There are 9 films up for Best Picture this year. Neither of us have seen 1917, which is coming soon to the Crystal Theater, or The Irishman on Netflix. I skipped The Irishman on purpose. How about you?
Well, you know, I actually started it and was watching it with my dad. It's long, you know, and I do much better. There's a reason I'm at the Crystal, because I'm forced to sit there and watch the whole thing. It's kind of hard to get through a whole movie at home, especially a 3-hour one. And The Irishman has that sort of uncanny valley of the de-aging that they've done, which just isn't quite there yet. I probably will see it at some point, but I don't know that I skipped it on purpose.
I've seen enough mobster hitmen movies for one lifetime.
Yeah, I could watch Once Upon a Time in America over again instead.
Well, you liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood more than I did. I have a love-hate relationship with Quentin Tarantino movies. What was your take?
You know, I did. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's not his best work. You know, there are several classics, Inglourious Basterds and Pulp Fiction, that I would, again, rewatch before I would probably rewatch Once Upon a Time in America. But it seemed like a perfectly acceptable addition to his catalog.
We've both seen Little Women, which lives up to the hype.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen the other ones, the previous adaptations, so I have that advantage. And I think Greta Gerwig has really just continued to excel as a director.
I enjoyed Ford versus Ferrari, which is not Matt Damon versus Christian Bale, by the way, and just doesn't seem like a Best Picture kind of movie to me. I wouldn't say I enjoyed Marriage Story at all, really, but it is very well made. It just should have been called Divorce Story. Will, you're a fan of Parasite, which is also nominated for Best International Film, and Jojo Rabbit. They both looked too dark, too grim to get me into a theater to watch them, but weren't both well attended at the Crystal?
They were, and pretty well received. Jojo Rabbit in particular. You say grim. Taika Waititi does this sort of happy, sad thing that in this case, it was a little dissonant for me. I actually really preferred Hunt for the Wilder People, but I think it's a. I don't think you'll leave it totally despairing. You might leave Parasite in that mood, because it's got some social commentary to it. It gets pretty dark, but it takes you on a ride. And I really, it would be my pick out of that lineup, at least of the ones I've seen, because it has a lot to say. It says it really well, and it says it in a way that I don't think most of us have seen before. It's not really a thriller. It's not really, an art house movie. It's something else. And I really tend to be drawn to things that get me out of my comfort zone, that make me feel like I can't just apply a formula and know what's going to happen at the end. Most of my favorite films of the year have either been that, or films that took sort of a standard trope that we're used to that then improves upon them or updates them. There's a lot of old films that you can't make today because a cell phone or the internet just ruins the whole premise. So to see something like Knives Out or Booksmart that takes something that's, maybe an older genre and updates it, that's can be really satisfying.
Well, while we're still finishing up on Best Picture, Joker, nominated for 11 different Oscars, including Best Actor for Joaquin Phoenix, was truly my least favorite film of the last year. Oh, how I hate this movie.
Oh?
I just think that the acting in Joker is really good. There's some, production design, other things about it that belong in the Oscar conversation. But for me, this film was way too self-important, was trying to kind of mine this overly discussed terrain of the Trump supporting, angry white disaffected America. And while I think that there's room for that discussion, and I certainly think that the need for more mental health services is important, I've always been skeptical of the Batman worldview on how we structure society and how we address problems. The idea of the rich vigilante being our best hope because civic institutions crumble and there's no good leadership. Everyone's corrupt. This sort of disgusted view of humanity. I just don't buy into that. And I also think that the last couple Batman movies, which I thought were well made by Chris Nolan, did the same sort of thing that Joker does, where it takes any sense of a critique of Wall Street or corporate power or big banks and just muddles it all up. So they're all terrorists, they're all rioters, they're all a bunch of thugs, and there's no such thing as a fair critique of power. There's no such thing as a protester who might have a point in this worldview. And so against that backdrop, you have Joker sort of gleefully destroying, you know, any sense of positivity. And to me, it just seems way over glorifying of that worldview. But that does it for Best Pictures. I'm talking movies with Will Grandbois. You just mentioned these next films we'll talk about, looking at the best screenplay and best adapted screenplay competition. I think you and I both agree worthy options are Little Women, adapted by and directed by Greta Gerwig, and Knives Out, written and directed by Rian Johnson. Why did you like that movie so much? I mean, I think I agree with you. But
I think it's a fun ride. It strikes that perfect tone of being a little bit campy, a little bit not taking itself too seriously, kind of a meta element to it. Every performance in it is spot on. The cinematography is solid. It feels like a murder mystery should, and it doesn't feel stilted or old-fashioned. It feels up to date.
Very much from now. I think the biggest snub in the screenplay department is Booksmart, which we both loved. It was written by a team of four women writers over 10 years, including landing on the blacklist of revered but unproduced scripts. Such a funny movie.
It's not even a genre that I'm terribly drawn to, that sort of teenage comedy. And they nailed it, and they nailed it in a way that feels very socially progressive and makes some really interesting points about sort of how we view the high school experience and how that expands to our lives after.
Another Oscar-nominated film that we both really liked was Harriet, of course, about Harriet Tubman. One other Oscar-nominated film that I need to mention that you said you hadn't seen yet is Honeyland. It's an incredible time capsule of global cinema shot in North Macedonia, which is basically right across the Adriatic Sea from the boot of Italy, just above Greece. Honeyland is the rare feature nominated for both Best Documentary and Best International Film. And I was able to watch that through the library reservation system. So really recommend that one. You're tuned to Booked on KD&K. I'm Gavin Dahl. My guest is Will Grandbois, editor of the Soper Sun and part-time Crystal Theater staffer. We just recapped some of the films nominated for Academy Awards that we recommend this Sunday. Before we sign off, let's go beyond the Oscars. You and I both agree The Farewell is an amazing movie.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed it. There was it was something understated. I felt that you know, if it weren't for Parasite in the mix, I'd be, you know, ranking sort of more highly among my foreign films. It just it's a journey into a, sort of a culture and even a subculture, a family dynamic that's really sort of distant to me, but nevertheless heartwarming and interesting.
I think one of the best films of the year. Don't miss The Farewell. Okay, Will, give us three recommendations, films that exceeded your expectations but are nowhere in the Oscar talk this weekend.
Well, if you sort of want just the if you're not worried about being depressed at the end, The Lighthouse is the one to see. It's a trip. It's black and white in this weird aspect ratio. It is, you know, it is not Twilight despite the actor involved. It's worth it. And it's worth seeing in
thriller,
one sitting.
Drama?
Boy. I'm going to go horror, but in a very sort of mind-altering kind of way. Let's go the in-between. The Dead Don't Die. Horror, but not really. I mean, who knew that you could get a buddy cop movie with Bill Murray and Adam Driver, basically, set against zombies and have Selena Gomez, you know, in it, and it would be great. In retrospect, it's almost something that's hard to, you're not sure what you're seeing while you're watching it. But it's one that I've thought back on more than almost any other film I've seen this year. And then on the totally heartwarming side, Peanut Butter Falcon, you know, an interesting addition to sort of, you know, last year we had, I'm forgetting the name of the film, but, you know, we've had a couple of films that were sort of acted by non-professional actors doing something that that's really important to them. And this one really nailed that. The central character, you know, has it's drawn forward by a made mostly non-actor. And the supporting roles are really solid, and you laugh through the whole darn thing.
Well, the other movie that I think really belonged in the Best Picture conversation was Just Mercy, based on the real-life story of equal justice lawyer Bryan Stevenson and his work to free innocent death row inmates in Alabama. It's playing for one more week at the Bowtie in El Jebel, and I loved this film. The same actor who played Oscar Grant and who was in the new remake, you know, the new updated Rocky films and was in Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan plays Bryan Stevenson, and then the great Jamie Foxx plays a death row inmate, wrongly accused, wrongly convicted. Really powerful film. Besides Booksmart, I thought the other funniest comedy this year was Always Be My Maybe, which is available on Netflix and is a primarily Asian-American cast, really, really funny and thought-provoking. My favorite sci-fi from the past year was the low-budget, high-suspense B-movie, basically, starring John Goodman, called Captive State. And last I checked, it's still available in Redbox. Don't miss this one. It's much more of a suspense than an action, and it really gets you engaged and twists and turns, and there's things you don't see coming, and I don't want to spoil it. It's just fabulous. Captive State.
B-movie sci-fi is great stuff.
Well, before we go, The Soper Son is 11 years old now, and you're celebrating next week by screening the classic film E.T. at the Crystal Theater. Give us the deets, Will.
7 p.m., February 13th. Does not conflict with the Mr. Roaring Fork pageant. We're glad about that. and tickets are online, sopersun.com. And that's you know the film. I don't think I need to pitch that to you.
What caused the Soper Son to pick E.T. in this particular instance?
You know, Linda Criswell brought it to us. There's a fair amount of 80s nostalgia going on at the moment, and a recent commercial with sort of E.T. updated. So it seems like the right time. And we've tried to alternate between, you know, truly classic black and white films and something a little more up to date that, you know, in this case, folks might want to bring their kids to that have never seen it or never seen it on a big screen.
That's true. A lot of people have never seen E.T. in the theater, so you're giving that opportunity. So this is a fundraiser for The Soper Son, Thursday, February 13th at the Crystal Theater. So cool for The Crystal to continue to work with and support The Soper Son, and probably doesn't hurt to have you on both teams.
No, it certainly doesn't. And my middle name's Elliot, so I'm just, you know, made for this film. And they do have Reese's Pieces at the Crystal Theater concession stand.
That is a really key thing. Well, folks, in case you missed any of what we just mentioned, this will be posted on the website. Again, the Academy Awards are Sunday night. You can read more movie coverage in The Soper Son. Last year, I wrote a big long column beyond the Oscars, and we wanted to touch on a few suggestions. Just to recap, Will is suggesting The Lighthouse, The Dead Don't Die, and Peanut Butter Falcon, which are not anywhere in the Oscar conversation this weekend. And I'm recommending Just Mercy, Always Be My Maybe, and Captive State. Will Grandbois, Soper Son editor, thanks for joining me for this lightning round look at some of the best movies of 2019.
Thanks a bunch.
See you at the cinema.